much emotional support for them during this time as you possibly are able to do. But the first part, starting with acknowledgement and recognition that kids are going through the same measure of stressors. They've been, their lives have been completely altered. They're not around their friends. They don't have the structure of the school day. They don't, they're not able to see their grandparents or their, if they don't live with them, the way that they used to, or their cousins or best friends, whatever, whoever is a part of their social network, their support group. And so we have to make sure that we acknowledge and don't make light of the experiences that the children that are around us are going through. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're talking to the children who are around us about how they're feeling, about how are you doing? How are you handling this? I have a 9-year-old daughter. And, you know, when this the COVID outbreak first started, she was very upset about what was going on. She was afraid. She was afraid that she was going to become a carrier and pass this disease, this illness to her grandparents or to us, her parents. So we really needed to spend some time talking about COVID-19, how it is that people contract it, how it is that it spread, to help allay her concerns and her anxieties about this time. And I'm certain that she's not alone in that. So talk to your kids, talk to the kids around you, find out what it is that they know, and make sure that you're giving them good information.
Dr. Dale and Dr. Jones, if you're so kind, we got to pay a little bill here now and then. So we're going to pause, we're going to give some information out. We're going to come right back. Family, it's 8:46 here on 1010 WOLB.
Larry Young Traffic.
There's a couple of traffic problems on the 95 corridor through the city this morning. This update is sponsored by Unbound.org. As you travel south on 95, just after Washington Boulevard, there's a crash that blocks the two left lanes. And then up ahead of you, there was a disabled vehicle near Caton Avenue. So looking at some slow-moving traffic from 295 as you make your way down to that southwest corner of the Beltway. There's a medical emergency reported on 295 North near the airport connector. And there's a crash on the outer loop of the Beltway just after Hartford Road. It crowds the left lane, but not seeing any delays because of that. Stay home to save a life. Coronavirus, BaltimoreCity.gov. Your weather forecast today, cloudy, mostly sunny. Your weather forecast today, cloudy, windy, highs in the mid-50s. Right now it's 44 degrees. Now here's an update from your MTA Transit team with Mark Jones. Good morning, Mark.
This is Michelle Suazo, and I'm the executive director of UEmpower of Maryland's The Food Project. The Food Project brings culinary skills, job opportunities, mentorship, and hope to the youth of Southwest Baltimore. At-risk youth struggling to survive often turn to crime, but when given a choice, the youth prefer to be engaged off the street and choose other ways to make money. With your support, we can empower futures together. Go to UEmpowerOfMD.org, that's the letter U, EmpowerOfMD.org, and learn how you can help support our mission. Thank you.
Do you want to learn to speak a new language but don't have enough time? Then you need to try Babbel, the language learning app that you can try for free right now at Babbel.com. Babbel's lessons are just 15 minutes or less, and you can go at your own pace. You'll be amazed at how easy Babbel makes it. Start your first lesson in the language of your choice for free. Just download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com now. That's Babbel.com.
Listen and learn with your guy, LY.
Good morning, good morning. It's 8:49 here on 1010 WOLB, the Larry Young Morning Show, and it's April the 10th. And we're having a discussion with two very fine and strong health advocates, Dr. Grady Dale, as well as Dr. Leah Jones. Dr. Jones is the Deputy Secretary of Behavioral Health for the Department of the State of Maryland Department of Health. And Dr. Grady Dale, you have so many hats. Which one should we speak to quickly?
I want to pivot back onto some of the excellent comments that Dr. Jones made. Can I continue with that?
You can. I just wanted to have the family, most of the WLB family know because you've been with us for years, but just in case, just a quick synopsis about yourself.
All right. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I've been in practice for a long time, but I've worked for the state of Maryland in different ways over the years. But I think the main piece that I'm proud of as our I've been a part of something called the American Institute for Urban Psychological Studies, which is our 501c3. We've been offering seminars over the last 30 years or so. Now that we've gotten older, I guess we're kind of pulling back from that. But we have been very, very interesting. I've been very interested in community, what is happening in the community, and what has gone on in the community in terms of stress, in terms of grief, in terms of what our children are going through and their parents are going through. I have a very high interest in my practice in terms of children and family. So I've been around for a while.
Dr. Jones, we're happy to have you come on board with us. You want to just briefly, something about yourself, the good lady.
Sure. So I've been with the Maryland Department of Health since January, about January the 2nd of this past year. So very excited to move into that position. And prior to that, I was the chief of psychiatry and the chair of the Department of Behavioral Health at Bon Secours Hospital, or formerly Bon Secours Hospital, for 7 years. And before that, I was in private practice in Hanover and also in Laurel. I am an addiction psychiatrist by training, and I'm an adult psychiatrist generally. And I'm happy to be with you this morning.
Man, we got some high temper coming up in here. Thank you both so very much. As they share their views, if you have, they both agreed to give us an additional segment or two. So if you want to call in, 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010, to ask a question within this particular area of interest, please feel comfortable doing so. In the meantime, Dr. Jones, Coach, you still had a question?
Yes.
Come on in, partner.
Yes, and doctors, thanks for joining us. How do you keep a even keel, meaning you're certainly aware of the situation and the severity of it, but also having a positive outlook and saying that one day this thing will turn around versus the sky's falling and this is the end of civilization as we know it. Talk about the importance of that even keel, so to speak.
Dr. Jones, or you want to go first?
Sure. So probably the thing that reminds us that things have changed so much is when we spend a lot of time watching the news and we're hearing the reports. A lot of it is very informative, but we're going through a pretty dark time right now. And so it's important for all of us to monitor how much information it is that we're taking in, because we can only tolerate so much. And so one thing is monitoring how much information you're taking in. And the other thing is to try as best as possible to maintain a sense of normalcy to your life. So
yes,
really try to have the same structures to your life that you already had before this happened. Get up at a normal time every morning, eat regular meals throughout the course of the day, take a shower, even if you don't have to leave the house. If you're working from home, try to manage that so that it's not taking over your entire day, so you're spending more time working now than you were before this epidemic happened. Just try to just put some structures into your experience as much as you can. Stay in contact with your friends and relatives through social media. Reach out for more supports than you typically would, because this is an unusual time. But I think that probably the less time you spend focused on what's going on the news, and the more time you kind of structure your own personal life and focus on what's going on with you, that will be helpful to balance these things out.
Yes, and I would add to what Dr. Jones said. I think one of the things that we have to acknowledge is that whoever we are, and whatever stresses that we brought to the table, we were who we are before COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And now that COVID-19 has hit, some of the things that we've tried to do to balance ourselves can sometimes go out the window. And so in terms of that, watching how we really keep our structure straight, and I agree with Dr. Jones in terms of routine, the exposure to news coverage, I guess I have a formula, something the equivalent of 1 hour on and 1 hour off. If you continue to watch breaking news, it's going to raise the anxiety for yourself and for people in the home. And so I think that the news coverage is important because you get relevant news. But I think how we manage that is important. In terms of talking to your children, you really do need to talk with your children. And Dr. Jones said you need to keep a regular routine. And the one piece that I like to convey is, you know, parents, for example, should be a good role model. You have to be the role model in terms of taking breaks, getting good sleep as much as you can, doing exercise, even in the house. You know, this is a time where we decide, you know, what can we do in the house to kind of keep all of us balanced in terms of children and us, in terms of exercise. You know, what kind of exercises can you come up with that are healthy for children and children like? Connecting with friends and family is important, but that whole business about folks in the house have to role, parents in the house have to role model. You can't ask your kids to do something and without you being there to role model and tell them how to do it. So yes, the answer to the question of Coach, keeping balance is especially when you're in the house is a 24/7 kind of thing.
We have another question. Let's go with Brother Carlos.
Good morning, and welcome to your esteemed guest. I have just a two-part question. How do we deal with the dystopian deniers of this COVID-19? Virus, who seem to be from George Orwell's 1984 animal farm persuasion that want to still congregate and have group meetings and church meetings and stuff like that. And number two, how do we make this a teachable moment for parents who are uneducated, parents that many babies that had babies, how do we keep it simple to make this a teachable moment for them to be with their children, to educate them, to start them in reading, writing, and arithmetic to their best abilities, and to get information online? And I'll take the answer off air, and hopefully we can reach the unwashed masses out there. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. Our goal, I think, is although there are a lot of politics involved with this, our goal is to make sure that we have appropriate filters in terms of how we process all of this information. And as we said before, how and who you listen to, how much news you listen to, you know, people have different opinions about these things. But again, we want to be very careful not to overwhelm ourselves with too many pros and cons. If we do that, that could be stressful in itself. So I think above and beyond the actual political kinds of issues, how to manage your information, I think, is very important. The second part of the question, I think, you know, how do we help parents and folks who may lack information or lack resources and things like that. Maybe a little later on, we could talk about some of the resources in the community that are available that can help you relative to who you can contact if you're having problems with your children or you're having problems with food or anything. All of this ties into our mental health.
Let me get Michael in here. Michael.
Good morning, doctors and Larry and Coach. One of the things, I operate a behavioral health clinic right in the middle of the 21215, 21216 zip code. And one of the things that we've been trying to tell our patients is that the opioid epidemic didn't go away, but now it's compounded with the COVID-19. And so one of the things that we recognize is for people who are struggling to get sober, they're still actively involving themselves in purchasing drugs and being in those areas where was identified today as 21215 has a very large diagnosis of COVID-19. And my question is, what would you suggest in terms of a community strategy to try to get more information out to folks in that community. Many of our people don't have computers in the home, so we can't do telehealth kinds of things with them. So my concern is that these people are going to be carriers because they're still out there using drugs. They're scared to come to the clinic.